So what Galbraith is doing is capturing the pattern, the tendency. And I, in what follows, or in what I write, often use the word tends as a shorthand for tendency. Tends as a noun. So what he's doing is capturing the pattern, the tendency. And this is important because tendency is a weight that keeps applying pressure to shape the world in a certain way. And if you don't remove that pressure, the world will inevitably simply get more and more that way. Remember that line of the chief engineer in Titanic, the film? Quote, "It is a mathematical certainty," unquote. That's the meaning of Galbraith's chapter one titling, "The Physics of Inequality," unquote. Now, this data is, quote, and this is a quote from him, this data is common, rich, and comparable across the globe. Now, is it a credible belief to think that the men who direct the global economy by controlling where money goes and where it doesn't don't know this? We know they act in concert. We know these calculations are basic. When he says, quote, once a reasonable degree of segmentation is achieved, the main patterns of change and inequality are going to be reflected in changes between the groups into which that region is divided. Thereafter, further refining the classification scheme increases the measure of inequality, but it does not greatly alter the pattern of change, unquote. And he's describing essentially the same phenomenon, the same reality, because there's only one reality, that Rosa Luxemburg is describing when she says, quote, "The more violently, ruthlessly, and thoroughly imperialism brings down the decline of non-capitalist civilizations," my interjection here, "the more thoroughly it eats the earth," going back to Rosa, "the more rapidly it cuts the very ground from under the feet of capitalist accumulation. Though imperialism is the historical method for prolonging the career of capitalism, it is also a sure means of bringing it to a swift conclusion, sweating blood and filth with every pore from head to toe, characterizes not only the birth of capital, but its progress in the world at every step. And thus capitalism prepares its own downfall under ever more violent contortions and convulsions," unquote. And I believe that capitalism is simply the ideology it uses for the current manifestation of power, and that we have to start talking about power, not capitalism. They'll just replace it with another word. We have to talk about the root of the problem, and that is class. The elaborate language of economics grows ever more complex by the second, but the truth is simple. It's lies that are complex. So Galbraith concludes by saying that forces are, quote, "affecting the global economy in common and systematic ways, that they are financial in nature, that they hit the lower income countries and people hard, and that they are the consequence of willed policies." And you can read this quote for yourself. It's a really long one. I have that. It's from the final chapter in which he lays out his conclusion. So I really encourage you to read them. But it's basically what I just said. I'll give one quote from it. Quote, "The simplest, clearest, and most compelling explanation for this phenomenon," and maybe I better back that up. "The super bubble in the world economy that began in 1980 and peaked in 2000 was also a super crisis for lower income countries and for lower income people. Debtors lost out relative to their creditors at the personal and international levels. The simplest, clearest, and most compelling explanation for this phenomenon is that it was the willed consequence of policies. In particular, aggressive high interest rate policies transformed world finance beginning in the early 1980s. As those policies interacted with falling commodity prices and the debt burdens accumulated in Latin America, Eastern Europe, and ultimately in parts of Asia, they also transformed the balance of economic power and the structure of incomes." Now, unquote, this is what legacy trillions can do: exert force, pressure, weight to shape the world the way you want it to be. And I'll give one more quote from this concluding section, but I encourage, as I said, everyone to read it. He says that, and this is one of the beauties of his technique or whatever, this way of addressing the problem, the statistical problem. Anyway, he says, is that it gives a panoramic view. All right, let me go on. The panoramic views provided on these pages should serve to demystify the study of economic inequality. In point of fact, even though there are many interesting developments to study, there are very few actual puzzles in the record. Similar patterns appear again and again. Unquote. So here it is. Here's the truth. It's sobering and must be listened to. We are given an accurate picture here of reality. The only question that remains is, what do we want to do? Or what will we do with this information?